All right. Topic I want to speak about today is Talis and Tefillin.
Ooh.
All right. So Talis, we know, I don't know if we'll get it in Talis, we'll see. Re'isem oso zechartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. Right? We say it every day in Kriyat Shema. We see it, we should remember mitzvot. Now, the Torah gives us the reason for wearing tzitzis, to remind me to do all of the mitzvot. It's like, I don't know, tying a string around your finger to remind you of something you have to do. Everyone knows the famous gematria. What's the famous gematria?
Tzitzis
600, and then...
knots and strings.
Right, how many knots?
Five.
How many strings? Eight. Okay, doesn't really work out.
What?
Every time you look in the... go, you can look it up. Tzitzit is written with only one yud, not two yuds. It's really only 590. Okay?
Only when we
where is that, Gemara? Where
no,
is that from?
Tzadik yud, tzadik yud.
I don't know where it's from, but you just look up Kriyat Shema. You'll see the way that tzitzit is written. It's the end of Shlach.
Tzadik yud, tzadik yud, tov.
It's not written tzadik yud, tzadik. First of all, the word is, it's a letter of tzadi.
End of Shlach?
He doesn't have a sitter there. Shlach. The end of Shlach. Yeah.
I've been lied to.
Then it's also we don't even have eight strings, really four strings, and we double over. But whatever, it's cute. People remember it. You learned it in elementary school. It stuck with you. Great.
But it's not real.
But is it to keep us to remind us to keep mitzvahs? Absolutely. So if that's true, we should be wearing tzitzis all day long. Rabina feels that maybe she wore tzitzis at night in the time of the Gemara. There's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis at night. And that makes a lot of sense because people usually went to sleep when it got late, you know, got dark. They didn't have electricity. Today we have electricity. We probably do more sins at night than we do during the day. And Rabina, like, you know, suggests that people should wear tzitzit at night as well. Yes?
Rami said since there are people that say that and it doesn't hurt to wear like tzitzis to sleep.
Certainly it doesn't hurt. You don't want to wear it, wear it. I personally don't, but...
I read it's like, it's either like the clothing you wear at night or your bedtime clothing. And then you don't want to put tzitzis on your pajamas, but if you're wearing your daytime clothing in the nighttime, you can wear tzitzis.
Yeah, Gemara gets into that. What type of bag it is it? Anyway, halach lemaisa. Halach lemaisa.
Are you never in your pajamas?
You have to wear tzitzis during the day. Rav Moshe says... you don't have to put tzitzis on at night, but you certainly shouldn't take them off. You know, say, oh, shkia, you know. So, but if, let's say, you showered at night, you wouldn't have to put tzitzis on again in the evening, says Rav Moshe. But as I said, Rabina, you know, suggests that one does it anyway.
Still a good reminder.
There's a Gemara, famous Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Dalet, about a student... who was the yeshiva bacher, but his night seder was a little bit different than most. He slept around with different prostitutes. So,
I love this Gemara.
I'm happy that you know this Gemara. Okay. The Gemara tells the story that he had one, he heard about some very, very special prostitute where he had to book an appointment in advance and he had to send, you know, money in advance and he had to wait outside and then he finally gets in. She's on top of like this 10 mattresses and there's like, I don't know, nine of them are silk, one of them is satin or vice versa. And he's climbing a ladder and he can't get there quick enough and he's whipping on his clothes as he goes up the ladder until the tzitzis smack him in the face. And he stops.
I heard he falls.
Mid ladder, goes back down, sits on the floor and starts to cry. And she climbs down and says, okay, this is crazy. This never happened to me. Oh, what have you seen that repulsed you? He goes, he's the first to ever say it. It's not me. It's not you, it's me. That's what he said. He's the one that came up with the line. It's right there on the Gemara. It's not you, it's me. And then he explains that the tzitzit are there to remind me of mitzvot, and how could I do this? And then she said, okay, I'm not going to let you go till you tell me what your name is and what yeshiva you're from. Clearly, she had a lot of yeshiva guys coming. I don't know. She knew all the yeshivas. And, It was Ben Asmanim. So, she... and then she comes and she shows up at his yeshiva. If I remember correctly, it was Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia's yeshiva. And she says to Rabbi Chia, I want to convert. And he says, why would you want to do that? And she tells the whole story. And he says, fine. Converts her. They get married. Gemara has an amazing... ending and says, look at the reward he got in this world. Imagine the next. What an amazing Gemara ending. Okay. The tzitzis are there to remind him.
He got the girl.
Got the girl. And she was his only. Okay. Now, based on this Gemara, Svardim say...
To the next business.
What? And he doesn't have to pay any money. Right. Svardim... Very, very good Jewish thing. Okay, yeah. Jews are cheap. Okay. So, Svardim...
He takes money from her father.
He... Okay. The Gemara... Okay, based on this Gemara, Svardim wear their tzitzis tucked in. Why? Because if they wore tzitzis out all the time, they would be so accustomed to seeing the tzitzis, he wouldn't have done anything. But the fact that he was disrobing, and then he saw the tzitzis, was like a shock. So, this is one of the sources that Rav Avadya quotes, saying that Svardim should keep their tzitzis tucked in. So much so, I had a friend, a Sephardi guy, who went to Rav Avadya when we were in yeshiva, and said, look, I'm Sephardi, but I'm now like a Ashkenazi yeshiva. Most of the people are wearing the tzitzis out. Can I wear it out? Rav Avadya said, no. No. Keep your tzitzis tucked in. Ashkenazim, on the other hand, they wear their tzitzis out.
So why do they wear tzitzis?
I'll get to all this. Ashkenazim wear their tzitzis out. It's like to shield them. The Mishnah Berurah brings out another idea that it's also pride. You see sometimes like some Veterans Day parade and the ex-soldiers, they wear their uniform with or their medals. They're proud that they have this uniform. They're proud that they have the medals. And if I have my tzitzit, I'm proud. So you wear your tzitzit out to show your allegiance to the king. Now, it's also, Sephardim also based on a Zohar, that's why they also keep it tucked in. Sephardim wear, and so do Ashkenazim from German descent, a talit already from bar mitzvah. Okay, you wear a talit from bar mitzvah. Most other Ashkenazim only start wearing a talit after they get married. Gemara Kedushin has a story about one student telling his rabbi, well, I got this friend, he's an other yeshiva, he's like amazing, he's going to come visit, I'd love you to meet him. He goes, oh, great, show me when he comes. And then when he comes in, he sees him not wearing a talis. And he goes, what? Why aren't you wearing a talis? And he goes, well, I'm not married. He goes, yeah, I'm married? Get out of here. If you're not married, so then you're sinning every single second. So the Gemara gets into the whole thing, Ben Shmonas Reil Chuppa, and, you know, why is this guy not married? I don't remember right
so
now.
Why do we hold
it's
that
near,
now?
Like, it's in that Gemara from Chavtet to Lamed Dalet or so that has all of those stuff there. I don't remember which stuff. And
why do we hold that now? That
1 second. So, according to this Gemara, it seems that when you're married, you wear a talis, and when you're not, you're not. And that's why this guy, it's like he said to him, idiot, you should still be wearing it. He didn't say that. He just says, you're an idiot for not getting married. So, how do other people, let's say Sephardim or German Jews, how do they understand the Gemara? That he was saying, the Gemara used the phrase porei sudra. He wasn't wearing a talis over his head.
Oh.
He's wearing his talis. Of course he's wearing his talis. But he just didn't wear it over his head. That's only for people who are already married. That's how they explain it. Now, when making the bracha on tzitzit, what bracha do you make on your tzitzit? Al mitzvah tzitzit. What bracha do you make on a talit? Li'itatef b'tzitzit. Now, there's actually a bit of a question if you should ever make a bracha on your tzitzit. Why? Two things. Maybe the tzitzit that you're wearing is not the proper shear. Maybe it's too small. It's supposed to cover your whole body or over your body. Is it tzitzit doing the job? Also, you're supposed to do atifa, wrapping it, and you don't really wrap it. And therefore, give me 1 second. I didn't hear what you said. I'll get to you in a sec. And therefore, when you're wearing both, okay, Sephardim from bar mitzvah, most Ashkenazim from wedding, you don't make a bracha on tzitzit. Okay, made a bracha on tzitzit until I got married. From then on, I don't make a bracha on tzitzit. I make just lehitatef b'tzitzit when I put on my talit, and I have in mind my tzitzit, even though I put on my tzitzit an hour earlier. All right, by the time I get to the yeshiva, it's probably about an hour since I got dressed before I put on my talit. That covers my tzitzit. What were we saying, Baruch?
When you're from Israel, they say you're supposed to wear like a size 18 or
yeah, so as you wear like a tight size, that's the right size. Yeah. Now, what's the earliest time you can put on tzitzit?
Shkia.
When you can tell the difference.
Earliest. Shkia is like...
Nates.
The difference between...
Good. Before Nates, when you can tell the difference between, the Gemara says, either blue and white, which would fit in with Tcheles, right, on your tzitzit. Another opinion said blue and green, which would mean you need a lot more light to discern between blue and green. But that's called Mishiyakir. Mishiyakir, in Eretz Yisrael, it's about an hour before sunrise. So if, let's say, now sunrise is roughly, I don't know, 6:40, 6:45, something like that. So an hour before that would be the earliest you could put on your tzitzit. When I used to live in Beit Daniel, if I ever had to daven in the really, really early minyan, so in the wintertime, like now, they would start davening up until like Baruch Hu, then they pause, and then they would put on talis and tefillin, and only then continue, because the people davened early minyan because they had to be on the road already early. But it was too early, you couldn't put on your talis and tefillin before davening. It was just too early for that. Now, let's see. What about Tchelis? What about Tchelis? So, Rav Schechter, who was here, said you lose absolutely nothing by wearing Tchelis. If all the people who are wearing Tchelis are right that this is actual Tchelis, you're being Makayim the Mitzvah Daraisa of Tchelis. That's amazing. Okay? There are rumors that I've heard that some Rabbanim wouldn't wear their tzitzis in Europe, in cities without an Erev on Shabbat, because they said without Tchelis, who says this is really a Beged? Maybe it's not a Beged. Some guys in Yeshiva don't wear all week, just in case they would go to a place like that on Shabbat. Okay, I don't know. But, you know, it's a crazy Chumrah, but I've heard people said it. Okay. But like a shirt that you would not necessarily wear, you're wearing a shirt. It's like in the olden days where they wore their toga and they had tzitzis on it. We're putting on a special garment between our undershirt and our shirt. Is that considered a beged? So I'm saying there were rabbanim that I heard. Okay, I don't want to say names right now because I might be wrong on who it is. But chelet, you like here, everyone agree. If you say spilled coffee at breakfast and it got on your tzitzit, would anyone say, wow, they're not white. Obviously, you're not being Yotzei the Mitzvah. No. If you spilled blue ink and it fell on your tzitzis, when you say, whoa, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. So let's say the people who are wearing tchelet, myself included, we're wrong. It's no different than wearing, you know, tzitzis that got dipped in ink. It doesn't take away from it. And if we're right, so we're being kind of the Mitzvah Daraisa. To me, it's a no-brainer. You know, like, people will spend extra money to buy a Mehudar Esrog for 1 week. And they hold the Esrog maybe about 10 minutes a day for 7 days. Not even, because Shabbos comes there. 6 days, or I guess seven of Chutz Laretz. So they get about an hour of holding an Esrog, and they'll spend tons of money. And for something that I'm wearing 24-7, okay, not 24-7, 24-12 or 18 or whatever how many daylight hours there are until I go to sleep. Why not spend the extra money? Yes.
I've been trying like each week to try to get Asher Ben Zal. So like I asked him the first week, he's just like, because we don't know what it is. Then I asked him again the following week. I was like, should you be wearing it? Because we don't know what it is. And he gave like a certain no. So this week, I think I'm just going to try to ask, like, why is it a certain no? If there's like a color, I'm going to ask him this.
Why do people wait to say, do you lose
me, anything? Me, I'm like, that's what I'm going to say. I assume there's what do you lose if you wear tchelet?
From what I understand, Rav Nevinsel is opposed because Rabbi Yashiv was opposed. Okay? The only thing is, it's all being recorded, but I'll say it anyway. The only thing is, Rav Schechter was here once several years ago, and he spoke in the yeshiva, and someone asked him about tchelet. And then he said, the guys that are involved in finding the petil tchelet, and two of them I know, I went to YU with them. They went to Rabbi Yashiv. They explained everything to Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said, wow, this seems like you guys have got it. Let me ask you a question. If I come out and now say everyone needs to wear tchelet, will the price go up? They said, yes. You know, supply and demand, it'll go up. So he said, I can't do that to the people that follow me. They're poor people, and I can't tell them now that they have to for themselves and their kids and their talisim and their tzitzis. Everyone has to get tchelis. It's too much of financial strain. So I'm not going to push it. The only problem is when Rabbi Yosef would speak, even just meeting people, there was someone there all the time writing it down and published it. So some guy published this whole conversation, and then people started saying, oh, Rabbi Yosef says really should wear. So work got back to him. So he went to one of his like right-hand men and said, write some article in my name saying not to wear tefillin. So some guy did. It's all from Rav Schechter. Okay, I'm assuming that's a reliable source. Okay, said that some guy did. The guys from the Petil Techilis went back to Rav Yashem and said, these arguments aren't good. And they said, arguments. And he said, I didn't write the article. And yet, based on that article, I guess, that's why I find it sad. You know, Rav Neventhal in his Mishnah Berurah, that's what he says. Don't wear, because Rav Yashem says not to wear. Now, there were people, like Rav Soloveitchik, who was quoted as saying, it's not part of our Masorah. Okay, but that's also like somewhat problem. It's not part of a circus because we didn't know what it was. Right. And, you know, that's what I always think. It's like, oh, my Masorah when I was growing up, but we didn't take Trumas and Maestros. Yeah, I lived in Chutz Laretz. But I moved to Israel and the situation changed. Like, I don't know. I find that difficult.
You were at Tchilis?
Yes.
I don't know where. Is it true that, like, there are some people that, like, since we don't know what it is, it might be, like, if we don't know what it is, it's, like, not right to do?
Rav Schechter holds the opposite. He says, nowadays, if you wear tzitzis without chelis, you're over on Bal Tigra. You're wearing tzitzis not in the proper way. It's like having three parshiot in your tefillin, or having, you know, not four corners on your garment, having three. Like, he says, like, you're not...
It's part of the mitzvah of tzitzit.
There's a perek in Menachos, and I think it's the fourth or the fifth perek called Chelet, and there it talks about, and it says, I think it's even in the Mishnah, your yotze with the white, without the blue, and that's what everyone's relying on, right? Without the blue, without chelet, your yotze the mitzvah tzitzis, okay? But there's a mitzvah being yotze and doing it l'chatchila, okay? So as I said, like. The only thing I lose is money. It costs more money. Okay. Like I said, you know, I'll get the Mehudar Lulav and Esrog. I'll get the nice Kiddush cup for Hidur Mitzvah. All of a sudden here, I'm going to be spendthrift and say, yeah, I want to save some money. I don't know. It seems a little bit strange to me. And then also, like, oh, I want to save money, my tits, but I have no problem going away on vacation. Like, you know, all these people that's, oh, you know, it's too much money. But where are you going for Pesach? Oh, going to a hotel for the whole Pesach. Okay. So I'm pretty sure that would cost more than my tzitzis, right? All right. Now, if you're borrowing a talis from a friend, the halacha is you can borrow it and make a bracha without even asking. Okay, let's say you're davening in a later minyan or an earlier minyan. Okay, you stay up all night here in yeshiva, you're davening batikin, and you forgot your talis, you know, and tefillin somewhere else. Can you take your friend's talis and at your friend's tefillin and borrow it without asking him? What's the halacha? Yes. Why? We would assume that he wants to let you do mitzvot. I personally believe the same applies to svarim if it's within Dalet Amot. Right.
Okay.
Right. See, in the days of the Gemara, svarim was parchment. It was easily ruined and it was quite expensive. It was hard to write the whole parchment. Today, svarim is relatively cheap. And we have good binding, and the chances of you using it, unless you're an absolute idiot, and ruining the sefer is slim. And therefore, the only problem I have with borrowing svarim is if you borrow it, take it to your place, and then don't return it, and then you cause the agmas nefesh, the person who can't find his sefer.
Which I specifically don't use.
Right. I once wanted to look. There's a guy sitting next to me, and he bought this book that I'd never seen. Something like, Guard Your Anger. So I said, all right, let me go see this book. I opened it up, inside cover, it says, do not touch this book. Anyone touch this book without any permission, may he rot in hell, his whole family. I said, whoa, this guy needs to work on his anger. Put it right back. I said, okay. Oh, hey, not messing with you and all your cursing. Okay. Yes, he clearly didn't get past that inside cover. But I think that, you know, you could borrow a sefer, use it in the same makom. I tell people all the time, you could be the most well-meaning person. You're going to bring it back. But then sometimes what happens is you're in the base medrash, and while you're learning, someone says, oh, Rabina needs you in the office. And then you just, like, leave. And by the time you finish and you come back from whatever errand he sent you on, you forgot. to return the sefer. So if you just use it, sit down in the place where the sefer is, even if that happens, so the guy won't find it put up right next to his sfarim in between his bookends, but he'll find it on the table where he's sitting down. So that's fine. So just like talis and tefillin can be borrowed, so too this. Now, Mishnah Berurah agrees with this view, and he brings opinions that maybe you need to make a kinyan before you can make a bracha, and therefore he needs to give it as a matana al menat b'hachzir. You know, you can't just borrow. In the end, he paskins that it's okay, and you can borrow for shacharis, and you can make the bracha. But if I'm only wearing it lechavod, obi lechavod, kohen, going up to duchen, okay, pretty much most days, one or of two kohanim come by to me during chazrat hashatz and ask to borrow my talis to go up to duchen. They don't need to make a bracha. They're putting it on lechavod. So you're getting an aliyah. Someone needs a talis for an aliyah. You don't need to make a bracha for you. That's just like lechavod of the shul, or you're going to be the shliach tzibur for mincha, and someone says, "Oh, put on the talis." You wouldn't need to make the bracha. The shul talis as well. The same halacha to apply unless specifically it's there for the shliach tzibur. And then you can't make the bracha unless you're the shliach tzibur, like it's, you know, for the shliach tzibur. Yeah.
If you need a lender or bar, someone to fill in, why don't you ask them during davening after Shmoneh Esrei, like before Shmoneh Esrei?
So, if you don't have your tefillin, say your tefillin being checked, the best thing, I saw this in an article written by a friend of mine, Ari Zivotofsky, went through this whole thing and he brought down all these sources. The best thing is not, okay, we have two main opinions. The opinion that I was brought up with, you wait till someone finished Shmoneh Esrei, you borrow his tefillin, right? You put it on. The only problem with that is, two, you didn't damage Shmoneh Esrei with the tzibor, like you were waiting at, like, you know, Baruch Hu, and you daven by yourself. Davening b'yechid is not a good thing. So, what I think is preferable, what I think is preferable, is to daven with everybody, then borrow tefillin, and then put it on and say Kriyat Shema, because you should say Kriyat Shema with your tefillin on. But best is what I saw in this article is if you're there before someone gets there, borrow his tefillin first, say Kriyat Shema, then put it back. Or let's say you get to shul early, right? You personally do. And you know that there are guys that get there, you know, let's say on time. You're early, we'll say on time. Some guys get there even a little bit after on time.
Yeah, like there's okay. A lot of on time people.
Okay. So sometimes people, they have their own version of on time.
There's been a lot of on time.
Now, if you know that this guy, right, let's say for example, you left your dorm room and the guy's still in bed. So you probably have enough time to get the tefillin on before he gets there. So borrow the tefillin, say Kriyat Shema, put it back, and then daven with everybody, tefillah b'tzibur. Cool. Why is that better? Because when you get up to Kriyat Shema with the tzibur, you'll already have put on tefillin, and when you're now you don't look like you're lying when you're saying Shartem Osayadecha, because you already did put on tefillin.
So isn't it like four then it's already missing Kriyat Shema?
Yeah. What?
If you say Kriyat Shema again, isn't it like Torah learning? That
you're saying Kriyat Shema is part of Shacharis, so I have to say Birkat Kriyat Shema before I get to Shmoneh Esrei. When I'm home now, Kriyat Shema is so late, I don't say Kriyat Shema. But usually, I say Kriyat Shema in my house, all three paragraphs before I come here, because we're not going to hit the Magen Avraham's Zman Kriyat Shema. But now I don't do it. Now, so Zman Kriyat Shema is like after 8:30, so we're like, you know, we're good to go. But most of the year, we don't make the Magen Avraham, and I like to make the Magen Avraham. So I say Kriyat Shema at home, and then I come here and I daven straight through with Birkat Kriyat Shema, Shema again, as part of Shacharis. Okay? And we sing it, and I hear you the most helping me. Thank you, Baruch Hashem. You're soloing in the cave. Okay.
Me and Rav are duetting.
The Shulchan Aruch Perach Siman Chav Talad Sif Aleph says there is no chiyuv to wear four corner garment, but you should. The Gemara in Menachos and Daf Mem Aleph says, in a time where God is angry, He will punish those people who they just go according to the letter of the law. So God says, "Oh, you're going to the letter of the law? I'll judge you according to the letter of the law." Guess what? You don't deserve to make it through this time of anger So, says the Gemara, best to go above and beyond the letter of the law, so God will also deal with us above and beyond the letter of the law. So even when he's angry, he says, but this guy, you know, he's a good guy, so I'll look the other way. I'm sure some of you have heard this story. It's one of my favorite stories. I had a student when I taught in Maimonides in 2001, 2002, who the rabbi did the old rabbi trick, you know, pat him on the back, only to say, oh, why aren't you wearing tzitzit? To which he replied, why don't you live in Israel? Okay. Now, of course, I told him that that's not a way to speak to a rabbi. But the rabbi's response was, wow, living in Israel is only a mitzvah kiyumit. It's only a mitzvah kiyumit. If you do it, it's a mitzvah, not an obligation. Now, the truth is, if I had to judge between the two, which is more of an obligation, putting on tzitzit or moving to Israel is certainly a much bigger obligation than going and find myself a four-corner garment to put it on so I could put on tzitzit. But I never mentioned that to the rabbi, and of course I never mentioned it to the student because he was chutzpahdik to the rabbi. That student, no.
Were you in it before you went to Maimonides as well?
I was then Yeshiva Kotel. I was in Yeshiva Kotel and went to Maimonides and then came back to Yeshiva Kotel and then Netiv. That particular student, I actually recall, I just mentioned him like this week or last week. He was in a different yeshiva, came to visit me. Then it was Yeshiva Kotel. Yeshiva Kotel, like Netiv, had tons of rules. And I said, so how are you doing in your yeshiva? There are a lot of rules. He goes, no, there's no rules at all. They leave it to our good judgment. And I said, but you don't have good judgment. He goes, yeah, I know that. Anyway, so, okay, sometimes it's not bad to be in a place with rules. Now, what about tefillin? In Siman Lamed Zayin, Sif Aleph, the first Mishnah Berurah says, if you wear tefillin, it gives you four amazing things. One who wears tefillin, you will have arichut yamim, long life. All right, it's already a good reason. Second, you're assured of going to Olam Haba. Okay. Third, you're saved from hell. It's not like, oh, I have to burn hell first before I get to Olam Haba. You're saved from hell. And fourth, your sins are forgiven. Wow.
Who said this?
The Mishnah Berurah. Sif Aleph, Siman Lamed Zayin. The Rosh says wearing tefillin is the most important mitzvah.
Okay?
Maybe.
I made the mistake once. You know, I forgot what it was. Oh, I had a rabbi that yelled at me in high school because I made fun of somebody. And he said, you lose your Olam Haba. I said, all right, I'm going to say Ashrei three times today. I'm good to go. So obviously there's, you know, I don't know how you balance out all the good things and all the bad things. But clearly what we're seeing from this Mishnah Berurah is it's a very big thing. It's not a surprise that Lubavitch goes around trying to put tefillin on people. There's a very big deal. Obviously you could argue, what does it mean, wear tefillin? Is it every day, a one-time thing? You know, like, I'm not really sure what it means. One who's meniach tefillin, is it just once in his life? But the Rosh says it's the most important mitzvah asa. Okay, that's the Rosh. Okay, not saying it's everyone's number one pick, but out of 248 to choose from, it's number one. It's one of the 13.
It's 12 of 13 in the
Rambam. On the Rambam's list of Sefer Mitzvot, which we said before goes in order of importance. So very good. It subjugates the five senses, right? Four to five, my senses are on my face, and I have four compartments on my tefillin shorosh. And I have one on my arm, right, for a touch. Also, the idea is, what do we put on first? Tefillin Shorosh or Tefillin Shayad?
Yad.
What? So, yes, but what's the idea? The idea is, the Yad before the Rosh is that Na'aseh V'Nishma. First important thing is, I do. Okay, then afterwards I can try to figure out why. It's Na'aseh V'Nishma. Now, we discuss in Tefillin, we have Kriyat Shema. And the difference between the tzdukim and the prushim on where you do, what does it say, Kriyat Shema? I have to do bein einechem. So what do the tzdukim say?
Right,
right between your eyes. Okay, and what's biyadecha? In the palm of your hand. Okay, so obviously the prushim have, the rabbis of the Gemara have a different way of viewing things. Your yotze, the mitzvah, even for a minute. You don't have to wear for chakras. Right? Like I said, in your case, you can put it on for a minute before the person shows up to shul. Your yotze, Rabina will tell guys a lot of times, okay, they didn't put on tefillin in the morning. Okay, put on tefillin now in the afternoon and say, katuv betfilin, yichud shemo, there's, you know, one God, and yitzias misraim. Then he goes, now take it off. Right?
So where's Yitzhias Mitzrayim?
That it says in Tefillin that there's one God and there's Yitzhias, and we have, you know, Yitzhias Mitzrayim. Which, I don't know if you guys say it, I do. There's a little tefillah right before you put on your Tefillin. Right? I don't say L'shem Yichud, I skip that one little part, but it's like that right after that, because I don't understand like the Kabbalistic stuff, but I go start from right after that. And it talks about the importance of, and it says in there, that, you know, Yichud Hashem, Yitzhias Mitzrayim. I'll say a little one before I put on my talis. But just to get a better understanding of what it is I'm about to do. But it's best to have your tefillin on for Shema Nesrei, best to have your tefillin on for Shema. Now, there's a machlokas in the Gemara if tefillin is one mitzvah or two. Okay, is it one mitzvah or two separate mitzvahs? And therefore, we machlokas Sfaradim and Ashkenazim in regard to what? How many brachot? How many brachot does Sfaradim say, Ariel?
One.
What brachot do they say? What brachot do they say? Lahaniach. Lahaniach. What? Only one mitzvah also? Okay, unless, of course, they speak, then they say two. We Ashkenazim say it all the time because we talk a lot. No, not because we talk. We're not allowed to talk.
No.
No, so they only say one. Oh, when they say two, I don't know, because then it was necessary after they made a hefsek. So since we Ashkenazim, you know, not sure if we should be saying two, so we say Baruch Shem after we make the second one. But this is the idea. Machlokas Shulchan Aruch, first Rama, Ashkenazim as well. Get to you in a second. Stand for both. While Sfaradim, what's the halacha? Sit for the Yad and then stand for the Rosh. Okay. Yeah, and when Ashkenazim say the two brachas, understood that the second bracha is somewhat of a suffix. So, when do you say? First of all, you say only after adjusting Tefillin Shel Rosh. I make the bracha before I put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. After I've adjusted, I know it's in the place. Then I say Brosh Shenkva Machsoli Alam Va'ed, in case that bracha was a bracha Levatala. What do you want to say?
If I'm at davening early, and then like I learn, but like if it's like really uncomfortable, like I don't really like wearing my tefillin, should I still put it on if like I'm not gonna like?
You don't have to wear it when you're learning. You put it on. You can come learn and then put it on before davening. That's fine. I mean, if it doesn't bother you, then great. You know, the longer you wear, it's nice. But there's no obligation for you to put it on for learning. You're fine. Now, the brachot, as we know, said over la siatan. What's over la siatan? Immediately before. So right before you tighten the knot, right before you adjust it on your head. Now, removing the tefillin and the talus, we do it in the reverse order. Since talus we put on first, first of all, why do I put on the talus first? Good. Tadir b'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. And I take off the Rosh before I remove the Yad. Because what did I first put on? The Yad. Then I put on the Rosh. If you took your tefillin out of your, let's say, talus and tefillin bag, if you took out your tefillin by accident, before you took out your talit, so what should you do? So you put on your tefillin. You put on your tefillin. That's only if your tefillin's out of the bag. If, let's say, you have a bag of tefillin, took it out of your big plastic case that has your talus and tefillin. So then that's not called taking it out. That's okay. But if you already took the tefillin out from its little zippered bag, so then you put on the tefillin before the talus. Why? What's the phrase? Ein mavir lo mitzvah is good. But, one second. Let's say, which am I supposed to put on first? My Yad or my Rosh?
Yad.
Let's say, no, Yad before the Rosh. Now, if I took out the Rosh first, though, let's say someone borrowed my tefillin without asking me, which I said is okay, but then they put it back in the wrong order. And now I pull it out. What should I do? Now you got it. Now I cover. Why there don't I just say, Ein mavir lo mitzvah? Because the pasuk says, what does the pasuk say? Uksharetem la'os al yadecha first. So I have to go in the order of the pasuk. So in that case, I don't say Ein mavir lo mitzvah. Then I cover it up with the bag, and then I put on the Yad before the Rosh. Yes.
Does it not count, like you said, when you have this, once you take it out, right, then you have to put it on before, but isn't it also in like a little case? Meaning like the tefillin's covered
right
as well. Meaning, so even when you take it out, it's not fully.
That thing. No, I think it was, I don't know. That's a good question. Is that considered, ask Rav Nevinson, I assumed always taking it out of the bag. You're saying it's still in the thing. I don't know. Good question. Ask Rav Nevenson. Right? You see the straps. You see the knot. I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a good question. I really don't know. If someone already put on the tefillin shel Rosh first, and I've seen this, right? Person's not thinking, and he took out the Rosh, he puts on the Rosh first. He need not take it off to put on the Yad, you know, before the Rosh.
What bracha does he make on the Yad?
Yeah, I have no idea what bracha is this person making, but like if you already put on the Rosh.
I just want to start
talking. If someone finishes putting on the hand, then like, sometimes, like if I'm really tired, I'll just finish the hand, and then I'll be like, oh, wait a second, I did the entire hand.
Okay, so first you should know the Vilna Gaon did it like that all the time. He did it with the fingers. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik, following the Vilna Gaon, did it like that all the time. And there are certain things that Rav Soloveitchik did following the Gaon that he didn't feel like explaining to Balabatam or Shechter. In he wrote like three books about like Minhagim of the Rav and Torah of the Rav, and in one of them he talked about how the Rav would always do Tachlin on his weaker hand, his left hand, even if he had tefillin. So he once did it. That's how the Gra. And some person said, Rabbi, but you weren't tefillin. He goes, I forgot. Like he didn't but tell him that's right. Like. You know, and the Rav would also, he'd do the whole thing with the fingers first. That was the minhag of the Gra. So it's not the biggest deal if you did the fingers first. Have upon whom to rely. Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, I've been tired before, like once or twice, and I just like...
You've only been tired once or twice? That's pretty impressive. Most of us are tired once or twice an hour. Okay.
I was tired, and I put on my shayat, and I went through half a davening without my shel Rosh on.
Okay.
I was just walking around, so I was like, you need your shel Rosh on.
Right. Oh, I knew I had to. Okay.
I'm sure with the person that goes to the market is like, oh, you have the full set.
Yes.
What?
There. I mean, I know of a case. Someone told me. A person found tefillin. I know, you know, there's a place in America. They have like a football field worth of items that were left on planes. And people come there and they have like this, like, you know... they bid and they take like stuff. So some guy found tefillin, and that guy went to go buy it, but the guy is not really so right. He like cheated this guy, but he said, "All right, let me see what you got." He put on the yad, he put on the rosh. He said, "Where's the other one?" He goes, "What do you mean? You know the one for the other hand?" Goes, "What? You don't have it? Ah, oh, man, this is fine. I'll give you $5 for this." And the guy said, "Okay." Like so. Really not so okay. It's a little Gneva Stas, maybe a lot Gneva Stas there. But this is what he did. Now, if you go to the bathroom in the middle of Shachris and you took a tefillin off and now you put it back on, do you need a new bracha?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yes. Oh. Tefillin, yes, talis, no. Tefillin, yes, talis, no.
Cool.
Now, I think so. I think so. You can't speak between tefillin shel Rosh and tefillin shel Yad. The Gemara in Sota disqualifies a soldier. Says a soldier who speaks between tefillin shel Yad and tefillin shel Rosh is disqualified. And I think the reason is because then he's having a disconnect between his head and his action. Okay? There's some Jews that they know in theory all the right things, they don't do it. And some Jews that do things and they don't think about it. There should be no disconnect. Or maybe, since tefillin's near the heart, shouldn't be a disconnect between the heart and the head. And this is the idea. And we shall stop over here.